Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, find out how a family handled an entity that lifted and threw a knife across the kitchen. Also, an unknown playmate shows up to keep a child company that can only be seen by that child.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Go to our website, ghostpodcast.com, become an EPP. Get bonus episodes of the show, advanced episodes of the show, exclusive video content, tons of extras. It's really the big, best way to listen to the show. Get all that extra stuff. And you're supporting it as well at $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Sean joining you this fine day. And how is life with you today?
Living the dream, Tony. Living the dream. Living the old dream. Feel very old. The time that we are taping this episode yesterday. Remember Beverly Hills 90210?
I do remember Beverly Hills 90210.
Not to be confused with Melrose Place and or something else along those times. Jason Priestley, I believe Brandon was the name he portrayed in Beverly Hills 90210.
Okay.
Yesterday was his birthday. He was 49 years old.
Well, did you get a cake or anything to celebrate, or maybe a cookie cake or anything?
Sent him a postcard, found a P.O. box online. I'm not sure if it'll actually get to the Canadian actor, but I thought to myself, 49 years old, and that was an example. Sometimes you go through life, and whether it is a reference, whether it's a CD player, and you think back to the anti-skip CD player that you put the tape part into your car stereo, and you were cool, and you had a CD player, where you just really feel old. Things happen in life, and yesterday, the gentleman will be 50 next year. I thought to myself, good Lord. We are not young whippersnappers anymore.
It is kind of a disturbing thing. I saw yesterday a friend of mine who is a radio personality from Green Bay, and he was a little bit older than us. So I used to listen to him on the air. And then he was one of the first people when I went to Green Bay and worked at that radio station in Top 40. You know, he was the night jock. He was the cool, you know, night jock. And, you're coming up and you're like trying to emulate yourself after that person a bit. I saw he turned 45 yesterday. I'm just like, oh, my God, like in 5 years, he's going to be 50. And I just picture everybody still at like the age of about 27. But I think that's kind of part of getting older. And I think
it's truly a number, and it's all about how you just go about your daily business. But I mean, sometimes you look in the mirror and think to yourself, my goodness, that
855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to our first, let's do a phone call, actually. Let's jump to a phone call first. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
This is Emma calling from Ontario, Canada, proud EPP member. This little ghost story happened to myself and my fiance about 2 years ago when driving on an Ontario highway. So previously, I'm a big believer in the paranormal. He's not so much, but he's had his own little experiences that have definitely opened him up to that side of the world. And so we were driving back from the cottage. Now, I didn't know how to drive at the time, so my fiance was teaching me to drive. So I would drive the up north portion of the highway because it's a lot easier and a lot less traffic, and he would drive into the big city where we live. So we would normally switch over about halfway through on the highway. And so at this point, we usually drive in the daytime, but this time we were driving in at night. And there was a place that we normally did our switchover, which was a little diner on the side of the highway. And the diner was, what we thought, abandoned, because we'd never seen any cars in the lot and we never saw any lights on in the diner itself. So we were driving, I really had to pee, and we needed a switch. So I said, let's pull over in this diner. And but it was about like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, so it was pretty dark. And we pull in, and there's no other restaurants around this diner. It's just this old kind of rundown looking diner. It just has the sign diner over it. So we pull in, and there's no cars in the lot, just our car. And I hop out to maybe like take a little like sneaky pee on the side of the road and then switch out. And I get out and I look in the diner and I see that there are some lights on, but there's no cars in the lot and there's no houses nearby. So it's not like the owner, you know, lives next door and can just pop over. It's just highway and the lights are on, but not the lights in the front, the lights in the back of the diner. So I'm looking and I see the jukebox lights are on at the back and there are a couple shadows moving at the back of the restaurant, but the sign on the door says closed. And as I'm kind of looking and I'm transfixed and I start to feel really sick, this feeling in the pit of my stomach just makes me feel just dread is the best word to describe it, just full of dread. And at that point I look and my fiance is in the car and he pokes his head out of the car and he's like, we got to get out of here. Didn't ask any questions. We just got in the car and we sped away. And as we're driving on the highway, we just feel like there's something following us. Just this feeling of dread is kind of stuck to us. And I look at him and I ask him, did you feel that too? He was like, I don't know what that was, but that was not good. That was not friendly. That was not positive. That was very, very negative. And so to this day, I mean, we, you know, searched it on the internet to find out more about the diner. It's not really on the internet. So we still don't know what's up with that. And we've passed the diner since, and there's never been anybody else there or parked there. But that's probably the closest I've come to feeling something super negative paranormally. But yeah, that spooked us. Love to hear your thoughts.
A lot of creepy imagery in that story of the old, you know, a semi-abandoned diner, like what's going on with it. What do you make of that story?
Well, bravo that she actually was not too scared when she could use the restroom, or that would just be severely counterproductive and she would still have to go. I think that is possibly a somebody from the other side making just a quick stop, maybe heading back to see how the diner was, somebody that was a part of when it opened, and just kind of went back to possibly relive some glory days. And it just so happened that she and her boyfriend or fiance happened to stop there at the same time.
I think it'd be really interesting if she did a Google Earth search for the diner, even though there's no information, you know, available for it, but it doesn't have a website or a Facebook page or anything like that. But Google Earth, you can usually get down to the road view and see what does it look like on that. And it'd be very interesting if it looked like, or if it didn't look like it did to them, like if it looked much more dilapidated on Google Earth versus what they saw, meaning they saw a slightly better version of it in person with some people in it than what may really actually be there.
It's always interesting when you do that and you notice cars in parking lots and they invoke more memories. And I know, at least for me, past jobs, past employment, past places I've lived, when you're severely bored, because I possess a very exciting life, you just pop in old addresses, old workplaces, and that's very interesting to see
what they look like.
To see what it looks like. I don't think that's stalking. I mean, it's Google Earth.
You're looking up pieces of your past. I think we all do that, especially those of us who have moved around a lot. I mean, if you're in the same town, you see the stuff every day that you've always seen, that's different. But if you move around a lot to different parts of the country, that's a normal thing to do. I do it. I just like, I wonder what my old apartment looks like that I was in, you know, X amount of years ago, especially when it strikes you and you go, oh my God, that's been 20 years or something. And you're just kind of shocked by that fact and you're curious as to what it looks like today. You know, I'm fascinated by when it comes to almost retail and stores and diners and things of that nature, are some of the old in-store restaurants that used to be at places we would shop when I was a kid. I distinctly remember Kmart's And in our town, in my hometown, we had a Kmart. There was no Walmart. There was no Target. There was a Shopgo, but the Kmart was like the big one you would go to until the Walmart came into the world. But there was like this diner in the back of the store. I'm not talking the front, you know, snack bar towards the end, or the Little Caesars pizza station that happened in the 90s. I'm talking like this had been like a 60s, 70s, 80s thing. And it was like literally like a greasy spoon type thing. It was kind of darker. And I just remember, we never ate there, but I remember walking by it all the time going, well, this is weird. There's nobody in this restaurant. Probably for good reason. But I'm always curious to see, what did that really look like? Because I'm pulling this up through the mind's eye of four-year-old me. So, you know, it's a little bit distorted, I'm sure. And it's so hard to find images of any of these places. The internet wasn't around. You know, camera phones weren't around, obviously. You know, cameras, you only kind of took those to vacation or a special event, not to go take pictures of the K Cafe. But I would just love to see what some of these places looked like in the time period that we saw them, because nobody seemed to ever take pictures of them. Now, I mean, it'll be very easy to look back and see what stores looked like circa, you know, 2012 or whatever.
Oh, man, that was all the way back in 2004.
Yeah.
Which, mind you, was 14 years ago, but quite honestly feels like last Thursday. What you can find, and in my opinion, I almost kind of like it where you can't find images from your childhood with a simple Google search, because I think it really takes away the value and how awesome those memories were. Now, if you want to know something, Google in a half a second, you know.
Yeah.
And I almost think that there's a certain amount of nostalgia that, guess what? You lived it, you experienced it. And by sharing that story with somebody else, they can't totally ignore you. Take one or two parts of your story and then just Google image it themselves and already finish the story without listening to you. So yeah. In some regards, I think that that's kind of awesome that you can't. What you can do, though, is Google 19, pick the year, 87, 89, 92, Kmart store soundtrack. And
I
play, baby, close your eyes and it's as though you're right there.
And I'll let you know what the blue light specials are and the great specials on ham sub sandwiches in the Kmart deli. Which right there is a concept. Unless you're under the age of, you know, 35, you have no memory of that Kmart actually had a deli in the middle of it as well at one point in time.
In the middle of it?
Ours was in the middle of the Kmart. You walked in, it was like where jewelry would have been. It was the middle of the store. There was a big round, it was a big rectangle. It was like the size of a whole, you know, clothing area, but it was a deli counter. There was an icy thing or the big rotating icy cup. And then they always had sub sandwich samples there. And they always put tons of mustard on the subs. That's what I remember.
Apparently they could get a few more days of freshness by just lathering it in mustard.
Exactly. This is from last Thursday. It's a blue light special. And yes, it is Wednesday of the following week. Enjoy. Ham does not go bad. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to a letter. It says, hey guys, love your show. Try to catch them as frequently as possible, hopefully soon. Be able to come in EPP. However, I'm unable to do so right now due to my husband's poor health, including being a diabetic and battling cancer. I've always been into the paranormal and come from a long line of sensitives and have had several paranormal experiences throughout my life. The story I'm about to share is a cautionary tale to those who may be wanting to rent or buy a property to do as much research as possible. I wish that my husband and I had. I moved from Ohio, where I was born, to Massachusetts to get a fresh start. After being in Massachusetts for a while and finding myself, I met the person that I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. Charlie and I dated for a year, then after getting married, started looking for a place to rent and to call our own. It was not long before we found a beautiful little house in a very quiet neighborhood. The house was very overgrown, but had a lot of potential, so Charlie and I decided to jump on it. To give a little bit of your layout of the house, it is three bedrooms, the master bedroom and a fairly large bedroom upstairs, and a very small bedroom off to the dining room downstairs. All was well, and we adjusted to the moving process. But not long after, we started to notice strange occurrences little by little. The first to happen was when Charlie was upstairs in bed while I was downstairs, browsing the internet and watching TV, being the terrible insomniac that I am. All of a sudden, Charlie came running at breakneck speed down the stairs and asked if I'd just been up there. Of course, my response was no. He went as pale as could be and told me that he's been lying in bed dozing in and out and felt the blanket being pushed up so that his feet were out and a cold hand had caressed his foot. Shortly after that, we moved our bedroom into the much smaller bedroom downstairs. However, the activity continued. We'd hear heavy footsteps going up and down the stairs, have bowls and pans spin clockwise while untouched on the counters, and see a dark, full-bodied figure walk past our bedroom door and disappear, a knife being lifted and thrown across the kitchen by an unseen force. And while being outside, looking up into the window of the master bedroom to see an elderly lady staring down and having our dogs bark intently into the corner of our room at something we cannot see. Finally, Charlie and I talked with our neighbors to see if they could give any insight to the previous owner of this house or the previous owners. We found out that this house was built in the 1700s, and the elderly lady that owned this house died here at the age of 101 years old. We have no doubts in our mind that the spirit of the house is that of the previous owner. So I set out to go upstairs to try to make peace with her. I told her that I know this is her house, but now it's our house too, and we must make peace with each other so we can cohabitate, where if she wants to help crossing over and going over to the light where her loved ones wait for her, I'd be happy to help her. I also told her that Charlie and I want to keep the house nice, and she's welcome to stay if she likes, but she cannot be doing anything that's harmful in any way. We continue to live in the same house, and once in a while she makes herself known, but things are a lot more peaceful. I'm sorry this story was so long, but I hope you enjoyed it. I may be calling back with more stories in the future. Thank you so much for listening. The concept of getting into a house that's that old is, you know, in the States, a baffling idea.
Absolutely. I think 1903, you think, is ancient.
You do.
But yeah, I mean, internationally, that's a fairly new structure. When you're talking 1700, what I took most out of that is why did Bethany need to pick up knives and chuck them across the room? I think she could have been a little bit more cordial in you are in my house. I am the original owner. A lot of that was your stereotypical scary movie type stuff, that taking the blanket up and touching the exposed feet with cold hands. That's some scary stuff right there.
The fact that it all calmed down leads me to think that it was in fact her, but I would be cautious at first, thinking, well, it'd be lovely if it was this wonderful old woman, but maybe it's not if they're chucking the knives across the room. But then you have to think, you know, it's very much a living assumption that we're going to think that the old lady is this wonderful old grandmotherly type who's going to bake us cookies. There are plenty of cantankerous, not nice old people, just like there's plenty of cantankerous, not nice young people. It's just people in general. There's not nice in every age group. Just because they're old doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be, you know, sitting there and weaving a nice scarf for us while making hot chocolate.
And more often than not, when you think and we're not just talking about colleagues or people that you didn't have the closest relationship to. I mean, your best friend moves on and comes back and visits you from the afterlife, a part of their personality that you didn't even know existed could come out. And not all bad. I mean, maybe someone you knew that was very serious and quiet, and you thought you knew all of them. Maybe they had this sense of humor, this more outgoing side that comes out after they have left Earth.
Are you speaking from some sort of experience here?
No.
It almost seems like you were like almost going into a story of like, and a friend told me this or anything of that nature.
Well, it may be one of those situations in past shows where the person, before it actually happened, they talked about it and then it actually happened. So between now and the next time we talk, I may very well have been visited by someone who I thought was extremely boring and serious, and I wet my pants from hearing a joke. And then I asked my colleague, did you hear that? And they looked at me like, I heard nothing. And I'm the only one that heard it.
And then you have to go and sit in with HR for a while explaining why your pants are wet.
It's water. I spilled the cup of water. That actually did happen yesterday. And the second you spill anything at work onto any type of clothing, mm-hmm. you almost, I mean, there may be somebody in accounting or HR or a colleague you never talked to, but you almost feel the need to get on the intercom at work. It was water. It was water. Should you happen to see me today, and I have a outline of South Africa on my pants/shorts, it was water. I did not use the restroom in my pants.
And that would probably, you know, suffice. They were like, oh, okay, thanks for sharing with us. And then people want to get selfies with it. And then it just gets weird. It's really weird when people start taking selfies with the water stain on your pants. 855.
It looks like Jesus.
God. I think I see the Virgin on there. Oh, my God. It's the second coming. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hey, guys. My name's Camilla. I live in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I've had some interesting experiences that I'd like to share with you. This is my first and probably the most meaningful story. It happened back in my hometown when I was 4 or 5 years old. I was visiting my aunt with my mom, and as I usually do when we arrive, both of them would go to the kitchen, drink some coffee, and talk adult stuff that was not allowed to be, I was not allowed to be a part of, obviously. So my mom would normally turn on the TV in the living room and give me some toys, and I would stay there playing by myself. I was used to it. We live very close to each other, so I'd come over very often. I like that house. I have some great family memories from there. Anyways, my mom left me in the living room and went straight ahead to the kitchen. A few minutes after that, a young girl entered the room. She was beautiful, blonde hair, very blue eyes, and maybe 17 to 20 years old. I never saw the girl before in my life, but I didn't feel threatened in any way. So while she was walking towards me, she smiled and said my aunt asked her to come inside and take care of me while she was with my mom at the kitchen. I agreed with that, and while we were playing, I asked her name, and she answered, Lydia Lane. A few moments after that, she said she had to go, since my mom and aunt were coming back to the living room. We said our goodbyes, and she went through the door. When my mom and aunt came to sit on the sofa in the living room, I was still playing with my toys, and I asked them who that girl they sent to take care of me was. They did not know what I was talking about. I had to explain and describe the girl to her and her name. When I said she was blonde, had blue eyes, and her name was Lydiane, they looked, but they told me she was a special girl that was taking care of me. I expected that and forgot about it. Or I accepted that and forgot about it. A few years later, my aunt had moved to a house above, and my mom and I moved to that old house. My room was now where the living room was at that time, and I was reading in this room, and I remember that young girl, and I realized I'd never seen her again. It was only that time. So I decided to ask my aunt about her, since it was her that apparently knew more about Lydia Lane. So I went upstairs to my aunt's house and asked if she remembered that girl and where she is, because I missed her. My aunt looked at me and very gently asked me to sit and that she wanted to tell me a very special thing. She looked at me and instantly there were tears in her eyes, and she told me, "That girl you saw was my daughter. She passed away when she was 8 months old. She was blonde, had the most beautiful blue eyes, and she would have been 20 years old if she were alive. I don't know why my cousin was visiting me and taking care of me that specific day, but I did not know my aunt lost her kid until that day. There are no exposed pics of her in the house. No one ever told me about her, and I was shocked. Maybe she was protecting me, or maybe she just wanted to meet her little cousin. I never saw her again, but we had some news about her. She's back on Earth, and she's now the most beautiful boy I know. She is my aunt's grandson, and we're happy to have her back living with us. Thank you for reading my story." It's an interesting one because it introduces the concept of aging as a ghost.
Yeah.
And that's something I don't think a lot of us think about. Sometimes I think we think about going back in time as a ghost, where we've heard stories of someone who is very old and in very poor health, you know, disease and all sorts of things that they're no longer good and their body has failed them. But then when they come back as the ghost, it seems to be a bit younger version where things were in a much better state. But it's rare that I think we hear the story of a child ghost that's literally aged about 20 years.
So, to understand correctly, when she saw what was her aunt's deceased daughter that she showed her, presented herself in a 20-ish-year-old fashion.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
And she had died at 8 months.
Wow.
And gave the name that she had. And it's a very, I may have been saying the name incorrectly because I really couldn't enunciate it, and I'm horrible at that. But it was sounded like a fairly unique name.
Wow.
It wasn't like, you know, Sue or Sarah or, you know, something that's like everyone has.
Yeah, I think that is a very unique this person that wrote in that had the opportunity to do that. You don't hear a lot, as you said, when someone dies a very painful death or they've been sick or some type of disease takes them and they remember back when they were younger and they weren't in their disheveled state. When they do come back, they are in that state, but you don't hear many. You would think after you have moved on that there is somewhat of a cap. You don't age anymore. Mm-hmm. Even though chronologically you pass away as a baby, if she were to come back, it would be as a baby.
Yeah. Because we do hear that. We hear that quite often. And that's one of the more disturbing ones where you have the children and very confused. It's rare to hear of the aging process on the other side. Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, my name is Brittany. I'm from West Virginia. I have a story about, actually three stories that go along with my parents' haunted house. When I was about 8 years old, I was laying in my room, just about to go to sleep, and I saw this figure lay down in bed beside me. The pillow had the indentation where a head would be. I saw her face, her bouffant hair, everything. She lay down right beside me and was staring right at me. So I asked her if she was going to hurt us. And she shook her head like she was saying no. And then next thing I know, she just went away. I never did see her face again after that. But for the longest time, we had our greyhound would look over in the direction of my bedroom and towards the other side of the house where you'd go upstairs to the attic, which I would never go up there by myself. I was always scared to death that someone was up there. Our dog, though, he would look in that direction and just stare. He'd sit there and he'd stare, and then every once in a while he would start to bark. So we would go and look and see if anything was over there that he could possibly see, and there was never anything there. I know a lot of times, like, our dogs would just bark at anything. They'd think they see a bird or another dog or something outside, and they'd start barking. But this was very specific, and it would happen every so often, you know, per night. He would just walk over there and sit, just stare, and start to bark. He did that up until he passed away. He was 14 years old, and he did that from the time he was a puppy until he was an older dog. Another kind of freaky aspect about the stories, my parents actually built onto their house. They built a large master suite and a large rec room off to the side, and we thought for sure, you know, nothing would happen on that side of the house. Maybe that everything was just happening on the older side. But we were kind of wrong about that. My dad told me multiple times he would see the same images at night. He said that they were in bed and he'd be getting ready to go to sleep, and he would see this family on fire down at the foot of the bed. He said it would scare the crap out of him and he wouldn't get up. He would just stay there under the covers, and he would wake my mom up to see if she could see the same thing, and my mom never did see the family. He said it was a mom and a dad and a small child. He couldn't tell if it was a little girl or a little boy, but he said multiple times that he had seen them just standing there at the foot of the bed. And he said flames all around them, and they're just standing there They never move, nothing. They just stand there and stare at him. And he says that he, you know, eventually just falls asleep and he doesn't see him anymore. And then another time he told us one morning while we were eating breakfast together that he had seen a little girl, not the same girl as before with the Burning family, but a separate occasion. A little girl was standing at the foot of the bed, and she started to walk over to his side of the bed. And he said that she just, once again, you know, just stared at him and never moved, or just kept staring at him and staring at him. And he said that that one scared him the most, and he actually jumped while he was in bed. And it woke my mom up, and she saw the little girl as well. I'm not quite sure how many times they actually saw the little girl at the bed, but my dad saw the family multiple times. He said that they'd never make a sound and never speak or anything like that, but he would always just see him standing there staring at him. They're still convinced that though that their house excuse me, is not haunted. That instance with me was seeing the older lady. I was 8 years old, and now still to this day, I'm 27 now, and I'm still totally creeped out by their house. And I definitely feel that something's there. The family before, they said that we were told that no one had passed away in the house. My parents were really nervous about that. That was their first house that they purchased, and it turned into their forever home. So when they bought it, they asked to make sure that no one had passed away in the house. And I guess, and later on, we found out that the realtor had lied to us that there was an older man that had passed away. But I'm convinced that the wife did, because I've seen her many times. That's my story. I'm sure I have plenty more. I may call back to give you guys some more info. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for sharing the story with us. What I don't understand about things like that is where you have so many occurrences going on and so many things happening, and they continue, or the owners continue to go, nope, not haunted, nothing's going on here, nothing to see.
It's a beautiful bungalow, and anything that does come up, oh, it's just part of the character. Part of the character.
Some people can reason.
Listen, Denise.
Yeah.
There is something here. It's kind of like when you bring your car in. Do you hear the rattling? I don't hear the rattling. Do you hear the rattling?
No, there's no rattling. Nothing at all.
I will make you sit here on the Davenport with me until we have our visitor friend come visit. What scared me, and that is a very valid point, but the fire and the flames repeatedly would have that occur.
No ghosts, nothing's hot, nothing's happening here, nothing's haunted. I think it comes down to a level of emotionally immature adults to a certain extent when you have that sort of belief. I'm reading a book about this right now and kind of studying this of essentially what this is, because a lot of times it can be almost taken as narcissistic, but I think there's a level of emotional immaturity that many adults have where it's like nothing's going to penetrate this bubble. It's too scary to understand anything beyond this bubble. And it's just this such a strong belief system, and whatever they're set out to believe, it doesn't matter. Facts are no match for the bubble of emotional immaturity. And I think that's where you get a lot of impenetrable people when it comes to things where it's right in front of you. Something's happening, and, you know, it explains a lot. It explains a lot of things in the news. It explains a lot of things that you hear about. And it's like, how are you not picking this up? And because it's baffling sometimes.
And the thing, the age-old saying, ignorance is bliss, which has been around for decades, now more than ever, unfortunately, and not to get off on a soapbox of fake news and all this and all that.
Yeah.
But truly, if there was a time where there was almost a legitimate, certain amount of validity to having that bubble.
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do with the afterlife and visitors and the relevance of believing in that or not. But just as a whole, to kind of stay sane without a lot of therapy, it's kind of okay with a certain amount, at least in my opinion, to have somewhat of a bubble. It's got to be bigger than 6 inches wide, but to almost guard yourself.
I think it's either you're a bubble person or you're not, and I'm just not. Deep breath. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us. That's what I love about our show. We can talk about anything.
What the heck is bothering me? 321. 123. What the heck is bothering me?
And no one will get upset about talking about anything here. Support our sponsor today, Stamps.com. Get that $55 in free postage, digital scale, 4-week trial. Go to Stamps.com and use our code GHOST when you click on the microphone and put that in. You'll definitely love that. It's like free money, like I said, up to $55 in free postage. Stamps.com, code Ghost. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, go to our website, ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air. Get access to every single bonus episode of the show, exclusive content, advanced episodes. They're all there for your listening enjoyment. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, for Carol, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.